Let's do what we've been doing these past few weeks. Go ahead and stand up for me. Go ahead and stand up. We're going to say what we've been on Matthew 28, 6. Let two people know Christ is risen. Come on, let two people know. Christ is risen. Christ is risen. Hey, you want to get extra credit? Let one more person. Let three people know. We got one more credit. You can look straight. Christ is risen. So as we're standing up, we're going to go ahead and have the verse that we started each and every week, what we've had as we are kicking off Easter and celebrating this here on Palm Sunday. And it's going to be Matthew 28, 6. Matthew 28, 6. And we're going to say this together out loud. Are you ready? One, two. Is it going to be on the screen? It's going to be on the screen. Here it comes. Somebody's going to hit it. Here we go. Hey, you didn't. I thought it was a memory verse, didn't you? Here we go. Matthew 28, 6. It says this. He is not here. He has risen, just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay. Thank you. You can go ahead and have a seat. That wasn't in the scripture when I said thank you, but sorry. Remember, you used to have that in youth group? Like, you know, somebody said, tough crowd. So, that being said, all the way through, this is what Easter is all about. We've been celebrating this over these past few weeks. It's about the empty tomb. It's about, Christmas is about hope arriving. Easter is about hope fulfilled with Christ, him crucified and resurrected for us and getting to live fully in that hope. So, before we get where we're going to be in our Bible today and we continue to talk about what Jesus chose for us in spite of us, how many of us have ever had like an invitation to somewhere important that we had to RSVP to? And everyone raises their hand, right? Have you ever had one of those instances where you didn't RSVP and you just showed up? Yeah, I was going to say, how did that make? The rule followers said no. The non-rule followers didn't. I have been in one of those situations. Sometimes, you know, an RSVP is very important. For me, I was covering an event. Somebody said, hey, we need you to do this function at an event. And so last minute, I said, yes, I'll show up. I'll do whatever you need. I'll do this function. And little did I know that right after I performed that function, I had a security detail come to me and say, you got to leave. What do you mean I got to leave? Did you see this? Like, I'm a pretty big deal. I set this up. You know what I'm saying? Like, what happened? They said, you weren't on the security checklist and a sitting senator can't come in the room until you leave because you're not on the RSVP list. How does that make you feel? Tax dollars at work. Anyway, we're not making a political statement. I'm just saying, doesn't that sound crazy? But this is what I'm trying to say, that it's important. Because it's like when the president goes to a place, you think he just walks in the room. He doesn't. Secret Service goes in, they clear the space out, they make sure everything's good, and anybody that's in the picture is actually vetted. You don't understand. They go through a security check. So an RSVP is important, especially when we have a special invitation to something. And that's the perspective I want us to have today as we continue to walk through what Jesus chose for us. We started out talking about the crown of thorns Jesus chose for us. Last week, we talked about the one cross and three nails he chose for us that made us forgiven. And so today, we're going to talk about the exclusive invitation, the exclusive invitation that Jesus has given us. So if you've got your Bible today, go ahead and you're going to want to get to John 13. And we're going to go back to the book of John after that, and you're going to want to get to Luke 23. You're going to want to get to those two places. We're going to finish up a little bit in Luke 23 where we were last week, and today we're going to start off in John 13. As always, if you don't have a Bible, we would love to give you one for free. They're over there in the garden. You write your name in it. You take notes. You highlight. You do whatever you want in that Bible, and also you can follow along with us for free on the Vine Church app. Just go to thevine.tv/app. It's our information hub. You can take notes, send notes. You can send the notes to me and tell me where I was wrong hermeneutically. That's fine. I'm good with that. Whatever that is inside the app. But as always, we're thankful for our Vine production team to have the message and the scripture on the screen wherever you're watching around the world throughout the week. So if you're with me, give me an amen. Amen in the house of the Lord. So here we go. Jesus is setting up for Passover. He is about to have this Passover feast, and it's the last time that he is going to have a Passover Seder with his disciples before he goes to the cross, is crucified, and resurrected again. And it says this in John 13, verse 1 through 5. John 13, verse 1 through 5. It was just before the Passover festival. Jesus knew that the hour had come for him to leave this world and go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. Verse 2 says, the evening meal was in progress, and the devil had already prompted Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot, to betray Jesus. Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power, and that he had come from God and was returning to God. So he got up from the meal, took off his outer clothing, and wrapped a towel around his waist. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash his disciples' feet, drying them with a towel that was wrapped around him. So let's look at this exclusive invitation that Jesus has as we're walking through this. It starts with a Passover feast, a Passover Seder. We know this is the Last Supper. You can look through all of the other Gospels. What happens at this Last Supper is the disciples argue about who's the greatest. And so Jesus now goes and serves them humbly. So the first exclusive invitation he gives is to the disciples. There were no one else in that room. It was just him and the disciples. And now depending on the painting, I have one of this awesome painting of the Lord's Supper hanging up in your house. You saw that. You know, you got some leaning in, trying to figure out who's going to betray him. You got all this crazy stuff. So the disciples start by saying, who's the greatest? And then they say, who's going to betray you? Like, it's just one of these crazy things Jesus is dealing with. And imagine, he's trying to give them, like, the most important thing before he goes to the cross. And they're fighting about everything. They're like, I ordered fried chicken. Not no chicken with no skin, man. No grilled chicken. What is this? I ordered Chick-fil-A, Jesus. I know it's Sunday, but, like, I don't know why it's not here. Like, they're fighting over the wrong things. Yet Jesus still gives this exclusive invitation. And just like Matt shared at the welcome this Passover, if you look that up, I want to let you know it doesn't quite line up this year when it comes to timing because it goes by the lunar calendar. You can look that up. Long story short, Easter is celebrated on a paschal moon. You say, wonderful. I'm going to give you some great history. Basically, that means it's the first full moon after the spring equinox, all right? And if there's a full moon, like there is now, on a Sunday, it happens the following Sunday. So now you can pass that pop quiz later. You ready for that? I see that. It's a tough crowd. Tough crowd. So that being said, next year, though, we can celebrate because Easter and Passover line up perfectly. Ain't God good? That's amazing. So in other words, we're celebrating Palm Sunday today. Historically, it would be at the end of April. Okay? We ready for that? Can you take that? Okay, we're good. You seem like you can. So I'm offering you an exclusive invitation to understand that. But if not, go ahead and fast forward if you're watching this video. Boom, here we go. Pick back up. Verse 3, Jesus says this. It says this, that Jesus was here. He says, Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power. In other words, everything was under Jesus' feet, right? Yet what is it that he washes of the disciples? Their feet. See, this was something that the servant was supposed to do to the master. This is something that the lowest and the lowest position was supposed to do. Everyone sitting at the table, yet Jesus said, I'm going to give you an example of an exclusive invitation. I'm going to get down on my knees. And just as I have humbled myself to come at Christmas, and I will humble myself to go to the cross for you, I'm going to show you what this looks like and how you serve the world. So he starts with an exclusive invitation to the disciples to be a part of this Passover Seder. And now he's got an exclusive invitation that says, I'm going to wash your feet. And so today there's going to be some basins coming out. I'm just kidding. There's not. Everybody got excited. You're trying to figure out. Thought we was getting pedicures in the house of the Lord, didn't you? Get excited. That's Mother's Day, people. We can get that later. So he goes and he tells the disciples, I'm going to wash your feet. My man Peter here in verse 8. And you're going to understand why people say I'm like Peter and stick my foot in my mouth all the time. But Peter comes up. Jesus shows up. He's washing all the disciples' feet. He gets to Peter, and verse 8 tells us Peter's response to this exclusive invitation. It says, no, said Peter, you shall never wash my feet. Jesus answered, unless I wash you, you have no part with me. So in other words, now there's an exclusive invitation that Jesus is saying, not only am I exclusively inviting you to have your feet washed, I'm trying to tell you what it means. There's an invitation to say, to do this means you're a part of me and my kingdom. Now, this is not salvation. Don't hear what I'm saying. I'm saying that he is modeling for us as Christians the way which we should serve others. Jesus is literally saying at this point, there is no one too low in the Christian kingdom that we should not serve. There's nobody too low on the totem pole. We don't have ourselves higher than everybody else to say, oh, I don't serve them. I ain't got time for them. Instead, everyone can be served through Christ. It goes on to say in verse 12 through 17, as we continue these exclusive invitations that Jesus offers as he goes to the cross, it says this in verse 12. When he had finished washing their feet, he put his clothes on, returned to his place. Do you understand what I have done for you? He asked them. You call me teacher and Lord, and rightly so, for that is what I am. Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you should also wash one another's feet. I have set you an example that you should do as I have done for you. Very truly I tell you, no servant is greater than his master, nor messenger greater than the one who sent him. Now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them. This is what I love about this. Let me ask you, because we always start talking about this and get a little crazy when it comes to this. Did Jesus wash Judas's feet? He absolutely did. Do you think Jesus didn't know he was going to betray him? It says that Judas is about to betray him, yet he still washed his feet. He still gave the invitation. Even though Judas would reject it, he continued to give him the invitation, and that's what the life of us following Christ is about. We continue to give the invitation to follow Christ. We continue to serve. Even when we don't agree with others, we continue to do that. And Jesus showed us that, because now he gives this exclusive invitation to us all in him. It says, now that I've done that for you, you do it for each other. Now we have an invitation that we can be a part of in serving. And so let me ask you this, married couples. This will be something that makes sense, I hope. If not, the Holy Spirit will move. Married couples, are you any more married today than the day you said I do? Absolutely not. Now your relationship, though, is very different, isn't it? Hopefully it's better. You might be in a season where it may not be, where you're testing the pillows, like, if I just choke them for a minute, I'm not going to kill them, I'm just going to let them know, right when, whatever that is, this is what I'm saying. You are no more saved in Christ than the day you surrendered lordship of your life to him, confessed and repented of your sins. You are no more saved. But the difference is, you miss out on the fullness of a relationship with him if you don't serve. That's what he's showing us. We could get so much more out of the relationship of following Christ if we serve. And sometimes we don't like that. Serving can be a million different things. Serving could be singing. Serving could be asking somebody when you go to lunch today, how can I pray for you? You will be shocked the floodgates that will open from that. Serving could be giving money to that person on the street instead of saying, they're just going to buy drugs with it. Well, Jesus gave you that money to begin with, didn't he? You think he won't give it back to you? He absolutely will. It's a seeing that old person, maybe in the, I had that this week. I was shopping and this older gentleman, he was, I hope I get to live to be this old. So I don't know how old he was, but he was hunched over like this. And so he couldn't see things on the top shelf. And it was awesome getting to talk with him. He was a World War II veteran. He just lost his wife 2 years ago. And you know what? I think Jesus put that person in my path because I was more blessed to talk to him than it was to be able to shop with him. But you know what? We have to treat serving others that way. It would have been really easy to be like, man, I got stuff to do. I ain't got time. This man's in my way. I ain't got time to shop with him. I ain't got time to talk with him. Pfft, he'll get over it. But instead, I got to have an opportunity to have a conversation. That was the best 20 minutes of my day. So today, the exclusive invitation Jesus offers to all of us is to continue to serve. If you've got your Bible, let's pick up where we were last week a little bit in Luke 23. We're going to start in verse 39 and see Jesus continue this exclusive invitation as he goes to the cross. Luke 23, verse 39 to 43. Luke 23, verse 39 to 43 says this. Talks about the criminals on the cross again. One of the criminals who hung there hurled insults at him. Aren't you the Messiah? Save yourself and us. But the other criminal rebuked him. Don't you fear God, he said, since you are under the same sentence. We are punished justly, for we are getting what our deeds deserve. But this man has done nothing wrong. Then he said, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And Jesus answered him, truly I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise. Do you see this exclusive invitation? It's an instant invitation. Through faith, Jesus is saying, hey, do you want to follow me? One criminal, as we talked about last week with a man on the middle cross, one may be on the left full of guilt and regret, long gone on the wrong side of living. One may be on the right, always looking for a fight, thinking they can never be forgiven. But the man on the middle cross, by God's grace, is the access that we have in, is the exclusive invitation. Jesus is about to take his final breath and commit his spirit to the Lord, and yet he serves. He serves the person next to him. He gives an exclusive invitation to all who believe. Verse 44 to 47 says this as Jesus is on the cross. It says in 44, it was about noon, and darkness came over the whole land until 3 in the afternoon, for the sun had stopped shining. And the curtain of the temple was torn in two, and Jesus called out with a loud voice, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." When he had said this, he breathed his last. And the centurion, see what had happened, praised God and said, "Surely this man was a righteous man." Think about this. That exclusive invitation. The exclusive invitation to be in God's presence with the veil or the curtain being torn from top to bottom. Imagine right now, think of your favorite person. Husbands, look at your wife. Hint, hint. It's your favorite person. And you get to spend an hour with them. But all of a sudden, imagine you have this thick curtain where you can't see anyone. And it's like this.
And you can barely hear their voices like this.
Let me ask you something. Imagine you paid thousands of dollars for that. Would you enjoy it? See, for you and I, that's what the presence of God would be. There was only one person who could go into the Holy of Holies before Jesus. And that was the high priest. He went at Yom Kippur or on the Day of Atonement. And he could only go to the mercy seat with the blood of the scapegoat to go and ask for forgiveness and atonement for the people's sins. Yet Jesus, being the curtain himself, ripped that veil to now you and I have access to the presence of God. The exclusive invitation we have is not to have this long thought out idea that one day we'll get to be in the presence of God. We get to be into it now. And I don't know about you. I don't want to get up to heaven and be shocked that I'm in the presence of God. I want to be a part of heaven now. That's what Jesus died and rose again for, so that we can have God's presence not only out there, but now in us. Yet it still doesn't stop. Another exclusive invitation is to this centurion. Jesus breathes his last. He is lifting it up, and all of a sudden this centurion's like, this man has to be the Son of God. Now let me ask you about this exclusive invitation. Did it discriminate? See, it kind of sounds weird though, doesn't it? Because something exclusive by definition is what? Excluding. Like, it means that something is wrong, right? Like, there are only certain things that can be a part of it. And so if you've got your Bible again, go ahead and flip. Instead of John 13, let's go to John 14 and see Jesus explaining what this exclusive invitation is to. John 14 reminds us what this is, and Jesus showing it to us. It says this in verse 1 through 6, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. My Father's house has many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I'm going there to prepare a place for you? And if I go and I prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you may also be where I am. You know the way to the place that where I'm going." Thomas always gets a bad rap. He was just willing to ask a question, y'all. I know we call him Doubting Thomas, but Peter sticks his foot in his mouth. Thomas is just like, hey, I'm going to ask the dumb question. He's that guy. Thomas said to him, "Lord, we don't know where you're going, so how can we know the way?" And Jesus answered, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." See, this exclusive invitation, we've talked about this a little bit before, but let's start about why we don't like this exclusive invitation many times. In the words of the great prophet Travis Tritt, I smell T-R-O-U-B-L-E. I said, hey, like y'all know it is, whatever that is. Maybe you go, what is it, Ray LaMontagne, is that how you say his name, right? Like, trouble, oh, trouble. Anyway, trouble been going my way, it's gonna knock me down. We won't open that. Worry, so many worries. We don't like trouble. We don't like this exclusive invitation of Jesus because we have trouble. We are rejected, we have stress, we have anxiety, we have failure in this world. And so we fight for comfort. And Jesus didn't die for us to be comfortable. Because I'm going to tell you something. He went to the cross naked and hung up on that bloodstained cross naked for us. Took our entire shame and guilt of our sin. Goes and defeats death, hell, and the grave for us. That wasn't comfortable. It wasn't a spa treatment, was it? Like, he didn't go in there and be like, man, I can't wait. This is like spa weekend. Instead, he did work. And we don't like that. See, to you and I, this would be mind-boggling. This may not be mind-boggling, but to the Jewish mind, what I just shared with you about Yom Kippur, when Jesus said, you believe in God, believe also in me, it didn't make sense. God was only in one place, and it was the Holy of Holies in the temple in Jerusalem behind the curtain. And it could only be accessed by the high priest. There was no other way that we could have God with us, and yet Jesus is saying, hey, this is what this exclusive invitation is about. I'm not only inviting that God comes with you, but you're actually going to have a room in the Father's house. Now you see, without getting too deep into it, we've talked about this before, the Passover Seder, if you will, or the Last Supper, is pointing to the wedding supper of the Lamb in Revelation 19, if you ever want to read that. And this is what that means. Jewish tradition, shared this before, is this. The groom would go, and he would pay the bride's father a dowry to marry the bride. And once the bride's father said, all right, you've given me enough, yes, you can marry my daughter, the groom would go home, and he would build a room in his father's house. Now, you would think, well, good, once his room's done, they can get married, right? No. The groom has to go ask his own father if he can go get his bride. And no matter the day or time, whether it's night or morning, whatever that is, as soon as the father says, yes, you go get your bride, the bride's got to be ready because the groom's going to come get her, because that's when the wedding reception's going to happen and the wedding festival's going to happen. And the groom goes and gets his bride, and he brings her back to his father's house, and they now all of a sudden have this huge party, this huge supper, and they are in covenant marriage. Church, that should sound familiar to all of us, because that's what Jesus is doing for us. We are his bride. That is why we have to be ready. He could come anytime, day or night. But where are we going, as Thomas asked? To the Father's house. Because he is the groom and we are the bride. And he is bringing us to be in heaven with him for eternity in a room in his Father's house. When we take the Lord's Supper, that is what we are celebrating, is that last cup of Passover where it says, I will take you to be my people and I will be your God. This is what this exclusive invitation is inviting us to, a place for eternity. And so Jesus ends in verse 6, and I think this is really why we struggle. He says, I am the way to the Father, I am the truth of the Father's promises, right? And I am the life. He is the life sin's death has robbed us of. We can only get the fullness of the Father through Christ. So in the time we have remaining here in the next 4 hours, we have, there's joy from noon till 3 in the afternoon when there was darkness outside on the, really, I want us to talk really quickly for a moment about why we really struggle with this in our world, about Jesus being the way, the truth, and the life, because that's the exclusive invitation he's given us. See, in this world we live in, if you ask your family or friends why they don't want to come to church or why they don't like being around Christians, they're going to give you probably a few of the same answers. They're intolerant. They're narrow-minded, they're bigoted, they're hypocrites, and they're mean. Christians are exclusive. In this world we live in, we don't like exclusivity, do we? We like inclusivity, or so we preach, yet we're living right now, those that preach the most inclusivity are actually the most exclusive club in the world. Because you got to check all the boxes to be in this inclusive crowd, which makes them exclusive. And so what I'm going to move and say to you today is the exclusive invitation that Jesus gives you to follow him being the way, the truth, and the life is actually the most inclusive invitation you will ever get this side of heaven. You'll ever get on this earth. See, inclusivity is what I mean is the reason we struggle with this is the inclusive view is this. There are many paths to heaven. There are many paths to God. All paths lead to God, right? That's what we like to hear in this inclusive. Like, that is intolerant for you not to like my way to go and be with God. And if that's the way you live, I just want to ask you to do, I want you to do a huge favor for me. Because we do this so we don't hurt feelings, right? We do this so that way we seem like everybody is there. If that's the view that you take, I want you to get on a plane today. I want you to fly to Israel. And I want you to take the Israeli leaders and the Palestinian leaders, and I want you to put them in a room. And if you believe all paths lead to God, I want you to sit them down at a table and say, guys, we're all going to heaven. I don't know what y'all are fighting for. How do you think that's going to work out? It's not going to be good at all. Because the Muslim Allah and the Jewish Yahweh are two diametrically opposed gods. And if all paths lead to God, then let me ask you this. You might as well follow Hitler's path to God. Because if all paths lead to God, that's the view you're saying and that's the view you're taking in light of trying not to hurt someone's feelings. Now hear me out. This is a place where all have a place. Inclusivity isn't so much that I will tell you that your truth is right or your way is right, but I'm not afraid to point you to the way. See, Jesus says, I am the way. Jesus is the way, and we don't like that. Why? Because his way is the narrow way, right? It's old-fashioned. It's narrow-minded. It's exclusive. His way of having marriage and finances and stewardship and serving and living isn't the way I like. It gets a bad taste in my mouth. It's almost like firing someone. We don't like doing it. Parents, it's like disciplining your child. You don't like doing it. It's repulsive to us. We don't like it. But let me ask you something. Just because your feelings get hurt, does it mean that it's wrong? The truth is the truth. If you're in a cave with your loved ones right now, and you find the only way out, and you get out of that cave, and you find out this is the only way out, do you just leave your family and friends in there you love and say, they'll figure it out? To say all paths lead to God is what you're telling them. Oh, you'll just figure it out. See, the thing is, people think that Christians, that there's wrong ways to approach this. So let me be honest with you. This is a place where all have a place. The house of the Lord is. But we will not stand and we will not be afraid to share and stand on the truth that is God. Because Jesus alone is the only way to the presence of God. There wasn't enough sacrifices that Israel could have had. There wasn't enough Yom Kippurs, enough scapegoats that the people of God could have sent out to ever fully have his presence until Jesus came. And so today, maybe that's your view. Maybe today where you are right now is the inclusive belief is we live in a multicultural society, a pluralistic society that says, here's the better way to say it. I'm just living my truth. And you go live your truth. And maybe that's where you are today, and that's the world that we live in. But let me ask you this. Would you go all in and build your life on your truth? Can two diametrically opposed truths be the truth? Because they can't. See, we see this. This just sounds so familiar. Parents, your children bring home homework, and they have that fabled old thing. 2 + 2 = square. Parents, you should really spend time doing that with your kids because that's actually teaching them algebra. Whether you know that or not, it really does help them. Just putting that out there. You're teaching that at a young age. Now, let me ask you this because this is what the culture we live in would say. When your child puts 5 down, do you correct it or do you leave it? See, the world we live in says no. They'll figure it out. We got to leave it at 5. I don't want to hurt their feelings. Is that love? You're withholding the truth from them. That is cruel. You are setting them up for failure because this world will smack them right in the teeth when they're wrong. See, the problem is when you live your truth, as your truth may sound like 2 + 2 = 5, but it is not the truth. Jesus is the truth, and we are not afraid to share that. Jesus is saying this is the truth, and what does that mean? Well, we will welcome you in. We are not, and you can try to live by your truth, but in this house, we will not ever stop staring the truth or sharing the truth that is Jesus. We love you enough to share the truth that is Jesus. This world's not going to like that because it hurts feelings. It seems intolerant. It seems exclusive. Quite frankly, it is because it's only through Jesus that we get the relationship with God that we so desperately desire that sin has robbed us of. Really quick, at the end, last here, the inclusive belief, and I'll share, I heard this a lot when I was starting college out in Washington, but the inclusive belief is this. Christianity is just a crutch that weak people use because they're afraid to die. Any of us have ever heard that? I don't know if you have. I did when I was out west. God, I'm getting old. It's okay. Thank you, Jesus. Such a long time ago, everyone was into the zeitgeist. They were into believing that religion was a means by which you controlled the masses, okay? And inevitably, when anybody would ask me about what Christianity is and growing up in the Bible Belt, I would get some version of this same analogy. And you may have heard it. And it's this. There are 4 blind men. They're holding on to an elephant. You ask each one of them what they're holding on to, and they will tell you it's something that is not an elephant. Yet the fact remains, 4 blind men are holding on to an elephant. And whenever anybody would tell me that, they would be so proud and that chest would puff out and they would be excited. And me being me, I just said, well, let me ask you this. How does anybody know they're holding an elephant? Doesn't it require someone to have vision? Didn't somebody have to see the elephant? And the person that saw the elephant, were they once a blind man holding on to the elephant? Was it five blind men that now had four blind men and one that could see? What made that person blind and what now gives them sight? See, that's the gospel, church, because we were blind and we didn't know what we were holding on to. That thing we were holding on to that we thought was so valuable was death. That's all that sin gave us. But Jesus came to say, hey, you're holding on to the wrong thing. Why don't I give you some sight and see how to have the way, the truth, and the life? And so today, maybe that's what you think, is religion is something that is just weakness. See, Jesus says, I'm the life. Here's the difference with the Christian. We don't follow Jesus because we're afraid of death. That is not our salvation. See, it is because of our salvation that we ain't afraid of death. It's a big difference. It's a big difference. See, we think it's the other way around, but it's not. It is because we are saved through Christ and Christ alone that is the way, truth, and the life. I ain't got to fear death because he's already beat it. And you know what? Because he's already beat it, he's going to put me in my right body. I'm going to have 12-pack ab. Like, I'm never going to skip leg day. Like, I'm going to be ready to go. It's going to be ready. I'm going to be rocking. It's going to be zero-calorie food all the time. I'll be able to tear up a macaroni and cheese, banana pudding, smorgasbord of wage, yeast rolls, and probably a chili cheese aplenty or something. It's all going to be one together. You ain't going to gain a pound. Them wings are going to be strong, right? We're going to have that. We aren't afraid of death. So, church, this is why I keep sharing this with us today. This is what it gets exciting. This is what Easter is. This is what we're sharing. Today, people are going to be grasping an elephant blind, thinking that they have the answer. They grasp that tail of the elephant, and they think they've got a staff, and, man, they don't understand why it stinks. I don't know. And we got to say, hey, you know what? I've been there. Let me tell you what gave me sight. We're going to have people today that are walking around saying, well, I can't figure out the truth. I'm on the path to the truth. And there's nothing wrong with seeking that. But what if Jesus put you in that person's life to show them the truth? What if you are in that life to show them the way? We can't be afraid to share that, church, because Jesus has prepared a place for us all, and he will come one day. And the thing is, I don't know about you, but I'd rather celebrate with someone that I got to be a part of them finding their room in God's house than rejecting them and hoping someone else would show them where their room in God's house is through Christ. And so as we go out in the street, that's what we want to share as we go into this Easter season. Today we have to be reminded that the cross itself is an exclusive invitation. We talked about a wedding invitation. That is what the cross is. It's an exclusive invitation to the wedding supper of the Lamb. And just to be honest with you, if when it comes to RSVPing today, if you don't RSVP to an invitation, what does it assume that you're checking? No, right? As George Strait says, right? Check, yes. No, I'm just kidding. I'm sorry. That was Emmy Lou. She's on my mind. Anyway, you'll go back and listen to it. But I'm being honest here. It is assumed you are checking no. Sin has us born RSVPing no to Jesus. It has us on the left and the right ridiculing Jesus, saying, I thought you were going to save us. But when we go to check yes and come to our senses, we see who Jesus is. Through faith, we receive him, knowing that we can never live the perfect sinless life he lived for us. We can never die. We can never die enough deaths to make ourselves righteous. And I don't know about you, but when I go and I get to go to my mother's grave and leave flowers, I don't go there to see an empty grave. I'm going to tell you what, if that happens, I'm afraid she's going to come warp me. Like, I know I done did something wrong, but I don't see any of us doing that. Yet through Christ, guess what's going to happen? One day, he's going to call us all up. We're going to get to spend eternity with him. So today, the cross shows us the depths of which God would go to extend this exclusive invitation to you and I. This exclusive invitation that is inclusive. It does not discriminate. It says one thing. If you have faith to receive it, you'll get to check yes on that wedding invite. John 3:16-17 reminds us of that, and it says this, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. God is not standing mad at you for your sin, mad at you for failing, mad at you for not being perfect. He said, I've already made the way for you to be. And the truth of it is, it can only be found through Jesus. And so today, would you accept the life that he offers? And so with every head bow and every eye closed, we're about to say a prayer. It's not the prayer that saves you. It's the faith that you have that Jesus is who he says he is. That faith checks yes to this wedding invitation. That faith is what makes us be living in Christ. It makes us be walking on his way. It makes us be walking in the truth that we so desperately seek that we cannot find in this world. And so with every head bow and every eye closed, please repeat these words after me. Our Vine Church fam is going to pray together for everyone coming to the faith for the first time. Repeat these words after me. Dear Jesus, I believe I'm a sinner separated from you. I believe you came, lived a perfect sinless life I couldn't live, died the death I deserve, paying the penalty for my sins, but loved me enough not to stay dead, but rose again on the third day so that I may have life. Come take over my life, Lord. Teach me to follow you step by step the rest of my life the best way I know how. And with every head bow and every eye closed, if you can say for the first time, you have checked yes to this wedding invitation in faith. You have received this free gift of salvation that Jesus came, died, and rose again to give us. I'm going to ask you to boldly raise your hand on the count of three. One, two, three. If that's you, if you're in the house, you can raise your hand. If you're watching or listening online throughout the week, you can put a raised hand emoji. There actually should be a link that probably pops up here in a minute. That is thevine.tv/response. We want to celebrate this decision with you because here's the thing. It's just the starting block of your life eternally. We want to help you get in contact with a local church near you. You're always welcome to come hang out with us at The Vine, but we want you to grow to be all that Jesus created you to be. And for the rest of us, if you want to go ahead and look up, if you want to stand up, we're going to go into this time of worship. My prayer as we go into this worship is we would be reminded how redeemed we have been in Christ, that we would be reminded that we're going to go out there and see people blind, hanging on to an elephant like we once were blind, but instead, through Christ, we have sight to know the way, the truth, and the life. So would you worship with us?
Lift your eyes to see. carry shame and nail it to a tree. You alone hold the power to redeem. Oh, you alone hold the power to redeem. Oh, you alone hold the power to
We are so excited that you got to come hang out with us today and gather with us. I pray that we would just boldly trust the Lord. I'm going to pray before we go for every soul that Jesus is calling us to invite to be a part of Easter next week. So Jesus, today I pray that we would just be reminded of the exclusive invitation that you have given us. But that exclusive invitation is inclusive to anyone who does believe that you are who you say you are. So Jesus, just remind us what you've saved us from. So many times we can get stagnant and stale. We can see the water basin over there in the corner, and we're waiting for someone else to fill it to wash our feet. But Jesus, remind us that you have shown us the way. You have been the example that you have called us to go fill that water basin ourselves and go serve each and every person you have placed in our path. So today, Jesus, I pray we would boldly go out. We would boldly share you. We would also go and not be afraid to invite others to come be a part of what you are doing. Come be a part of you being the way, the truth, and the life. So Lord, I pray for every soul, every ear that's going to hear that invite this week, whether they join us for Easter next week, wherever they are, that they would come into your house and the local church around the world, and that you would awaken their heart to say yes to you for the first time. We love you, Jesus. We are so thankful that we get to be here today. It is in your name and for your glory we pray. Amen. The best is still yet to come. We can't wait to see you for Easter next week.